gentlemen. Welcome back to the Hawk Time Podcast. I'm Nick.
I'm Adam.
And as always, propped up by our wonderful tech team of Sam and Ryan. And today our guest is Channing. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
So today, what are you here to talk about? What is your topic?
I wanted to talk about the Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter differences, kind of focusing more on the Black Lives Matter movement as a whole, just kind of like the big things with that.
Yeah, a lot of times discussions can be a bit weird. Obviously, results are debated. I think there are pros and cons of both, so mm-hmm. I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Alrighty.
So I think we'll just start off with a basic one. Why'd you choose this topic?
I'm really passionate about this topic just because I think that, now I do agree with the statement that all lives do matter, but right now the Black Lives Matter and the Black community is the one that's really struggling, and they're the ones that need the attention, which is why I stand by the phrase Black Lives Matter. And I think over my lifetime, I've seen a lot of this happen, and I haven't really been involved in it or gotten to know much about the topic because I was younger or I just didn't know really what was happening. And now that I do know, I want to take a stand on my beliefs.
It's definitely kind of come down to actual definition versus connotation. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would debate that all lives matter, but in use in this context, it's become quite different.
Definitely.
Contradictory, yes.
So it's kind of beyond that. Would you say that you're an advocate for the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm assuming?
Yes, definitely.
So have you like attended anything? Have you been able to?
No, I have not been able to. My parents have been nervous with the riots that have happening, and so they haven't let me go to anything. But if I would have been able to, I definitely would have.
All right. So that's actually a great lead into our next question. When it comes to, you know, the riots, obviously that's a mixed bag. And it's never great to see cities burn. But that's kind of been a side effect of this Black Lives Matter movement and this push towards racial equality. When it comes to the riots, how do you view them? Like, do you view them as kind of necessary growing pains? Do you view them as something that could be handled better?
I think it's definitely a tricky topic. I think that I definitely don't want to see any kind of destruction. I am not a kind of person that wants to see violence. But in this case, I think if the protests started peaceful and they ended up becoming violent because of the law enforcement, I think that's a different story. But in the sense where it is people just looting just for fun, just because they have an excuse, then I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. Then again, when it comes to the actual riots being like they started as riots or it's people actually rioting because they're angry and rather than just like looting for fun, I think that we were kind of asking for it almost as a country. And I know that sounds bad, but when you suppress a group of people for so long and you keep pushing them down and keep pushing their anger down, they're going to come back eventually with more destruction and with more anger than they had before. So when you keep pushing it down, you're almost asking for it. Which I know that sounds bad when I say like, oh, they were asking for it. But I think that is kind of what has happened with the riots.
Yeah, like coming off of that topic, a lot of things stem back, and of course you never want to see violence, and you never want to see like upheaval, but a lot of things might not come unless there is violence that meets it in the beginning. Like I know a big example is the Stonewall riots. I mean, like very little happened to help out the gay community, the LGBT community, until that happened, and that really like, that gave them the rope that they needed to like pull finally. And gave them the leverage they needed.
Yeah, for sure. And I think even with like the Black Lives Matter movement that happened over the summer and have continued into fall and winter, you see where it started in Minnesota, it was very much more an emotional riot. Mm-hmm. It definitely started as riots. It started as protests. It's very much emotional. Towards the end, it became more looting. I think some people were taking advantage of it. When you see the massive forces of, you know, military police, National Guard moving in, clashing and losing ground to these protesters, it was raw emotion that kind of carried that. When you look at somewhere like Chicago, New York, there were police officers trying to, you know, clear areas, whether you have that video of the police car being driven into the crowd, stuff like that. And then you have Washington, D.C., what happened there to clear the square for Trump. Our current president and his photo shoot. Mm-hmm. But then you have other cities, you know, scattered around that have been more kind of take advantage of. And there's a wide variety. As it progressed, it became more organized, and I think that helped calm things. I think it was definitely good for it. But the way it has been handled more recently in Portland has been a free-for-all at times. Mm-hmm. If you were in this position of power, if you had the ability to kind of set the track for what happens, for say, in a Portland, mm-hmm. how would you go about addressing this issue while avoiding throwing people into unmarked white vans?
Yeah, I definitely don't think that throwing people into vans is a good idea. I think if I was in, let's say if I was in like Trump's position, the problem that I had with his photo shoot where he was that they were all peaceful protesters, and I saw that, and I saw that they were peaceful because I was watching it. I was watching it on live television. Like, you can see that they're peaceful, and then they're all tear gassed and pushed away, and it's upsetting to see that. And to see him just to walk across the street and take a picture in front of the church, I do not think that was the correct move to make. I think that having people come in and actually talk about the problems is going to be one of the things that's going to lead to at least some kind of peace, some kind of treaty almost. And then for Portland specifically, I would try and sympathize with the protesters and people that are rioting, because I understand their pain. I do understand why they're angry. Now, I don't think that much anger is, or that much destruction is necessarily the best way to do things, but I sympathize with them, and so I would try and make that clear for sure. I don't know what, like, specifics I would do, because I haven't thought about it that much, but definitely not sending in so much extra force, because that's not what they're going to see. That's just going to add fuel to the fire.
Yeah. Well, I just have a follow-up question. Showing sympathy, it's something that people have tried to do. Mm-hmm. Its results have been questionable. Do you think at this point, or at the height of this, the height of the riots and protests, let's say, would sympathy be enough? Obviously, neither one of us are, you know, we're not, you know, African American. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't experienced that ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's probably something they get tired of hearing. Oh, we sympathize, we know your pain, when we don't know it. We can look, but we can't experience.
Yes.
So you think sympathy could do enough? Do you think that would just kind of be a preventative measure, or do you mm-hmm. think it just kind of would have been brushed off?
I think the sympathy is a good starting point, but this, I know this is a cliche, but actions speak louder than words. I think that action needs to be taken in the with the law, like with law enforcement, especially with like the cases of Breonna Taylor, how the cops that killed her have still not been arrested. I think that is one thing that would lead to a lot of peace, is if there actually was some kind of justice that was brought. And so I would definitely do my all to make sure that is given to them, that they do have justice, because I know that is one of the things that they're most upset about. Yes, obviously the killing of all of these people is not something that is making them happy, but the justice and not getting any kind of justice is what's really frustrating for them and what's really pushing them over the edge. It was the final straw.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to kind of read each situation. They're all different, you know, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's tough to rule on. And like, something that kind of strikes me from that is that, like, to put it bluntly, a colleague of mine says, like, appeal until it's fair on like certain issues. So like, what I mean is that keep giving like African Americans something to like be okay with, like be like justified, like arrest certain cops, do certain things, pass certain legislation until it's fair. Because the whole issue of Black Lives Matter is that at the moment, a lot of people feel that it's not fair. So like, it's almost like when people say all lives matter, that's just a contradictory statement. They don't believe, or no. When people say Black Lives Matter, sorry, they don't mean that Black lives are superior. They just mean that Black lives at the moment in our country are seen as like lower, and so they need to be up at that fair level, you know. So you just have to give them a little bit, along with sympathy and just other certain like concrete, tangible things like arrests, until it's finally a level playing field.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Kind of moving on, in a more today, yesterday, during election day, we saw kind of the more legal side of the Black Lives Matter movement and the results it's had. Black voters were out in unprecedented numbers. Voting mm-hmm. turnout was up across the country, which may be Black Lives Matter, you know, other reasons as well. But it was truly a wonderful election to see just the amount of turnout, especially from minority communities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this increased turnout will last? Do you think this will kind of start slowing back down in the coming years?
I think that the Black Lives Matter riots and protests have kind of been an awakening for a lot of people, and I'm hoping that that awakening will have a lasting effect. I think that it definitely will for my generation specifically. I know that Gen Z has been very adamant and about their beliefs and about getting their voices heard, because they are kind of at the point where they're sick of being told, oh, you're just a kid, like, you don't have an opinion, or your opinion doesn't matter. And so I think that once they have officially all reached that age of we can vote and our voice is going to be heard, then I think that's going to be a really big deal. And I'm hoping that that will last for a long time, because the voter turnout has been incredible. And I think a lot of that also has to stem with the politics on social media and the coverage that politics has gotten on social media that has brought a lot of attention to new voters and brand new 18-year-olds who can actually vote in this election. And I think that's a big reason that we've had such a big turnout as well.
Yeah, like, going off of the voter turnout, I mean, already Joe Biden's at 72 million votes in the popular vote. I mean, that shatters by a few million Obama 08, when it was the first time, I believe, I'm sure it was, the first time an African-American was the big-ticket nominee, you know, one of the last two left. And Joe Biden just shows, of course, it was different times back then. Like, there wasn't the huge Black Lives Matter movement that we have today, of course, but Joe Biden has shown that when he's back, that people will come out and vote for him. And, I mean, he's up by 4 million, which was a lot more than the last election's popular vote difference.
For sure. Now that we're on the topic of presidential candidates, when it comes to the Democratic nominee at the moment, Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
He has made a big platform on making strides towards racial equality, combating these issues that the protests were trying to speak out against.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with such a long track record, he's been around for God knows how long. He's had a lot of decisions on both sides, some that Trump supporters or other anti-Biden fans point to as, this isn't really a man who cares. This is a mm-hmm. dude who's here for the votes. Obviously, a lot of what he said in his more current rhetoric has been very pro the Black Lives Matter movement, been pro racial equality, etc. Do you think Biden is for real when it comes to talk like this? Do you think it's more of a political game? Do you think people are voting for him because they think he will help, or he just won't hurt as much as our current president?
Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely a tricky thing to point out. With Biden, we've seen him at kind of as a more typical politician. The reason that people like Trump so much in 2016 was because he was a businessman and he wasn't a typical politician. A lot of his supporters really like him because he gives it to you straight. He doesn't play games with you, or at least not that we know of. But with Biden, I've definitely seen more of a pattern of being a typical politician and saying what the people want to hear. But I think people are taking him up on that and taking their chances because they've seen 4 years of Trump and they've seen where we are right now in our country, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement, and they've seen how it's going. And I think they'd rather take their chances with something new than keep what we have, because clearly nothing has been done on the Black Lives Matter movement so far.
Okay.
Yeah, like, a big thing with that is that there's a difference between, like, sugarcoating something and lying. Like,
mm-hmm.
in some of the stuff that Trump said, he is a businessman, so he's going to be straight up. But some of the stuff that Biden said, you may think it's sugarcoated, you may think it's lies or whatever, but he's going to tell you what you want to hear. Mostly sugarcoated things that maybe it's not 100% accurate, but it's also, like, something that he stands behind, he's willing to work on. He's going to tell you what you want to hear. And that's why 72 million people came out for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's by no means perfect. People who see him as this great coming of, you know, the next FDR or whatever, that's not going to happen. Some people, obviously seeing Trump, have thought so. But I think he's definitely got his flaws. But I think I agree. A lot of it has been, it's more we can take our chances. We've seen what 4 years is. So moving back to a more local scale, we've seen a lot of cities, Atlanta, most recently has been the big one, Detroit, as usual. These hotly contested states during our election have had unprecedented black voter turnout. Atlanta, especially Fulton County. Fulton County was overwhelmed with the black vote, people getting out, wanting their voices heard, believing that their voices mattered. Detroit as well. Wayne County is always slow every year, but Detroit was very willing to accommodate for this incredible rise in voter turnout. These cities could have drastic effects for political, you know, races 10 years down, 20 years. Do you think that would be one of the more lasting impacts of the Black Lives Matter movement? Do you see the Black Lives Matter movement as something that'll last that long? Or is it something that's here until the problem is kind of dealt with and then it's going to move on?
Well, I'm really hoping that it is here to stay, or at least until the problem is fixed, because fixing the problem and addressing the problem are two very different things. And I think that in the years to come, the problem is going to be addressed more than it's going to be fixed. There are hundreds of years of racial injustice that are being brought to our attention right now, and that are going to have to be dealt with, and that's going to take a lot longer than just one presidency or one term. And I think that hopefully the black votes and the voter turnout that we've had will continue with that, and the impact that Black Lives Matter has had will also continue. But I think until it is truly dealt with, or not necessarily truly solved, because I don't think there's any really way to rid racism in this country. We were built on racism, and so it's hard to get that under control. But I am really hoping that the voter turnout and the black votes and the impact that Black Lives Matter has had will continue for a long time. Maybe not necessarily as big as it has been in 2020, but for at least some kind of impact.
Yeah, and then another thing is, I was thinking about this a few days ago, is that you can't have the problem linger in order to get votes, you know, but if, like, the Democrat Party starts doing, like, things on it and starts, like, getting more and more of the African-American vote and just other things, I was thinking about it, how is a Republican candidate going to win elections? Because, I mean, I know that Trump did really well in 2016, but, like, I mean, we saw with the voter turnout, the margin in a lot of states that we thought he was going to, like, I mean, Pennsylvania still might go Biden. I thought anti-fracking alone was going to make it 60-40. And so it's just going to be, it's like, how can some people in the Republican Party are going to have to adapt their platform and incorporate more things in order to, at the end of the day, win elections.
It's an not before seen the power of the black vote as it's been this election. It's really put a scare in some of these red states, such as longtime red state Georgia, Texas, North Carolina was close for a while. And that's something we'll be talking about next episode, so tune in for that. But it's been something that I think is really unprecedented, the power of that. The Republican platform, I do think, will eventually have to start changing, or be changed with the times, or get washed away. This is a new rapidly growing demographic, and their platform in the past has not catered well. So one final question: when it comes to this Black Lives Matter movement, when it comes to, you know, the riots, the protests, when it's come to the counter protests, when you see these counter protests, All Lives Matter, the Michigan at in their state capitol, the march on the Capitol with guns. When you look at movements like this, how does that where does this play in? Do you think they're effective in combating the movement? Do you think they're just kind of, you know, Trump supporters back at it again? What do you think this is in the grander scheme of things?
I don't really think that they're effective as a counter, really in any way. I think that they're trying to bring unnecessary attention away from the Black Lives Matter movement, which that has been effective. But I think that the Black Lives Matter movement is such a powerful and strong movement that it will never truly die. And I think that as long as it's there, these counter protests aren't going to really be completely effective. I don't think that they're accomplishing what they want to accomplish. Honestly, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. It seems like they're trying to throw stuff together just to take attention away.
For every movement, there's a counter movement.
Exactly. Now. Yeah, there doesn't always have to be a counter one. It shouldn't have to be debating whether all lives matter or whether Black Lives Matter. There shouldn't be a debate for that. It should just be right now Black Lives do matter, and right now we're trying to get them to get their voices heard, and All Lives Matter is just trying to combat that and take attention away from it when there shouldn't be any attention taken away from it. I don't think that All Lives Matter and the protests are necessarily the right side, and I think they're kind of grasping at straws.
There you go. Summarize that well. So if we have time, which I think you do, you spade ran that one. When it comes to this Black Lives Matter movement, obviously something you see throughout history is when a movement has success, it can often keep going. Whether that be, do you think the Black Lives Matter movement, how would you go about, or how would we as a country see, will it keep going too far? Will it accomplish its goal and stay? Will it become become more than a movement type thing? Will it be more controlling, etc.?
I'm not quite sure. I'm hoping that it sticks around for a long time, and that it really, that it becomes more than just a movement, because we've seen with a lot of movements, they happen and then they die off, and then you see a little bit of a resurgence, and then it kind of goes back away again and goes back in hiding. And I really hope that Black Lives Matter is a continuous thing, at least for a long period of time, because for a very long period of time, we have seen the Black Lives don't matter, and we've seen their oppression and slavery and racial injustice, everything that falls under that umbrella. And I think that it's time for the Black Lives Matter movement to really get the attention that it deserves, with that being longstanding. And if there is any kind of thing that comes up more where it becomes more than just a movement, where it becomes controlling, I think that will be dealt with. I don't think that, as bad as this sounds, I don't think that the white community that is against Black Lives Matter is going to let it become something that is overwhelming and overbearing and controlling the lives of everybody else. But I really do hope that it continues to grow, and that people are more accepting of it too, because I think that right now people see Black Lives Matter and they see the organization, and there's a lot that the organization has done wrong, but the statement Black Lives Matter should not be something that is debated in this country. And so I'm really hoping that more people start to notice that and start separating the two, because once we separate the organization from the term, then we can definitely see a lot of growth there.
There you go. Alrighty. So thank you for coming on. That's been, well, good answers.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been good.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I think it was a good debate, a good talk. Tune in next episode. We'll be talking with a historian much more credible than any of us here. Talking about these states that have been traditionally red going blue. Should be very interesting, so make sure to tune in. So from me, from Adam, from Sam, and our tech crew, thank you. Thank you to Channing.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next episode.